Lady Lovin' listeners. This is Lo Bosworth here.
Oh, hey, Lo Bosworth.
Hey.
Hey, Lo.
Hi, Greta. Hi, Jill. Jilly. Sorry, Jilly.
You guys, she will never get it right.
Jilly Bean.
I think I might have to get it tattooed on my forehead.
Maybe.
Like Drake. Well, remember the girl who got Drake tattooed on her forehead?
True.
That was crazy.
Listen, I've been thinking about disrupting getting another tattoo.
Wow. Get it, girl.
Get it. This is another episode of Lady Lovin', and we are about 1 week post-election, 2016, and last week's episode was, like, so joyous and funny, and it was the night before the election, and we were just so excited for Tuesday.
Yeah.
My boyfriend's business partner was here from Australia with his family, so we had them over, and like I made a big dinner in anticipation of this like big victory and celebration for women's rights, for human rights, for civil rights, you know, victory for love and unity, and at least in New York City, we're all feeling really sad and shocked, and
we're feeling like it's time for a change.
It's time for a change.
I think that's something that is important to remember, which I really, you know, we had listeners write into us saying how upset they were, and you know, it's extremely discouraging and disheartening and devastating. It's a devastating thing that happened, but something that we really can't forget is that Hillary did win the popular vote.
Very
true. So everyone is, I mean, we can't forget that she won that vote. She won more votes. More people voted for her in the United States of America than voted for Donald Trump. And I think that a lot of us forget that, and a lot of us feel really, you know, embarrassed or ashamed about what happened. But I think that it is important to remind yourself that she did win the popular vote.
Yeah.
It's also interesting, too, because if I think there was like this map that was being shared around social media.
The millennial thing.
Yeah. And it showed that most, you know, pretty much more than half, I'd probably say like 70 to 80%.
It was 18 to 25 year olds. Had only 18 to 25 year olds voted, it would have been 90% of them would have voted for her. I mean, did vote for her, but
yeah. So 90% of 18 to 25 year olds voted for Hillary. The younger generation had wanted Hillary to win.
They see the future differently, I think, is really the bottom line. And what's interesting is that we live in New York City, and you know, we also have a lot of friends that live in California. And so we, you know, we're part of the coast. We vote blue. And I think one of the most important takeaways for me personally from the outcome of the election is just how many people out there are not like me.
And yeah, I mean, we live in the bubble.
Well, that it was interesting that you say that, because my friend Felicity posted an article on Refinery29 all about how, like, you know, how shocked everyone was. Even like the New Yorker shocked, and the New York Times came out with an article saying they were so shocked because we're all sort of living in this like bubble where, you know, the people that we follow on Instagram and all of our socials are people that kind of share the same like-minded views that we have, that are into the sort of same things that we are, and we're not really going outside of our of what we like to actually really understand like what our country is. And it was all about how there's, you know, such a disconnect because we're all sort of online seeing this, but if we were to go out and actually have conversations and speak to people, then we would see that it's different.
Well, I know, I mean, just like you guys know where you guys are from in California, where my family lives in certain parts of Pennsylvania, it's Trump land. Like the second I left New York City to go to my family's house in like central Pennsylvania, you drive 40 minutes outside of the city and everywhere you see are huge Trump signs, Trump billboards, Trump bumper stickers. Everyone is for Trump. So I guess for me, like I was obviously devastated and extremely shocked that Hillary Clinton didn't win. But like I place most of that on polling. Like, I think that the polling industry and the polling business and those projections were so skewed and inaccurate that had the polling not showed Hillary having such a lead, Hillary having such a stronghold, mm-hmm. I don't think that all of us would, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was projected a 70% chance of her winning. At one point in time, it had Hillary like
95%.
Yeah, something
chance.
Crazy. And I think that, you know, outside of us being so lucky to be around like-minded people and being so lucky to have parents that also support our views and our political standards, you know, I don't know. And then we have polling feeding into it too, like making us all feel so safe and secure. Mm-hmm. And then you watch what happened on election night and it's just, you know, you can't plan for that.
Yeah.
For me, Lo.
I wanted to talk about President-elect Trump a little bit and the reasons why people voted for him instead of voting for, say, like Bernie Sanders, who also represented this revolt vote, right? People who wanted a big change in government and who were sick of, you know, sort of like the stall that we've been in for a really long time. And so, you know, I guess my question is, because it's becoming clearer day by day with the news that's coming out about who Trump is appointing to his cabinet,
which to me is the most terrifying part of the whole entire thing.
It's terrifying that none of these people that he is putting onto his cabinet and into his staff represent alternative values or views at all. If anything, it's just more of the same and people who are just like Donald Trump. And so it makes me feel like all of these voters already must feel, or maybe they don't, but like you guys got conned so hard if you voted for Donald Trump.
And I don't, just to, real quick, I don't think this really, to me, has nothing to do with like Republican or Democrat. I think it just has to do with like the type of person that Donald Trump is and the type of person he is and just the way that in which he speaks about people and speaks to people and all these things that he says that aren't even true. I read something today that said that he said in his campaign that he was going to, you know, get rid of Obamacare. And then today I saw something that said that he's not even getting rid of Obamacare. So it's like, is everything he said a lie? Like, do we even know?
Well,
what we're
he admitted that, first of all, no, we don't know what we're going to get because during his whole political campaign did he talk about policy. Number one. Number two, he's not versed in policy. He is not, he's a realist. He's in the real estate world. Poorly in the real estate world, too. He has half of the people that have ever worked for him suing him right now. I mean, here's the thing. I personally think he's going to get impeached in his first year of presidency, which is shitty because that leaves us with Pence, who's a fucking psychopath.
Yeah.
But truly, you know, Donald Trump looked at Obamacare and was like, oh, yeah, certain things in Obamacare do make sense.
Yeah.
So, you know, look, my biggest hope for all of this is that he isn't actually the terrible guy he is projecting to be. I hope that a lot of what he was doing was, you know, entertainment and kind of the stuff that you would say to get votes, the stuff that you would say to rile up a certain demographic of people to vote for you that hadn't voted or hadn't supported in a really long time. He tapped into a lot of deep-seated anger that exists in this country and has existed in this country for a very long time. Like,
all of those who feel disenfranchised, essentially.
Yes, and it's going to be sad. You're right, Lo. It's going to be sad because all of these people that are really counting on Donald Trump to come into their, you know, small towns that used to be like booming manufacturing cities, and they think that they're going to be revitalized and they think that industry is going to be brought back to them, they're going to be really disappointed when none of that happens. And when they're fucked with taxes, and when they're fucked with healthcare, and when women have no rights, and when the education system is crumbling because Rudy Giuliani is going to be in charge of it or whatever the fuck. But, you know,
I think the biggest thing is like he's our president. And so we have to figure out ways in which to support each other and support groups that are, you know, losing support and ways to make sure that our rights aren't taken away and the things that we need that we still fight for. And I think that's the biggest thing. I think that we just have to figure out ways in which to accomplish all of that and accept that he is the president and move on from there. I think that a lot of people are still like stuck in this way of not thinking that, you know, of like protesting and everything like that. And, you know, I think that protesting is great, but I also think that action is better than that. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's very important.
But I think
important.
The protest is a part action. Of the action.
For sure. But I think
especially
that, like,
in a democracy.
Yeah,
you know,
definitely. But I think that
is a big part of
I think
what
that
we
going
do
beyond
country.
That and also besides just, you know, protesting, I think it's important to support those groups that need help and to
right.
support people that are less off than you and that really need that and to support, you know, like different states that
right.
are lacking
like
the LGBT
action, get
rights,
out of the
that
house,
are lacking
make
the Planned Parenthood rights, like all
volunteer.
Of that. Yes.
I think that it just comes down to, like, look, I do believe that, you know, what is this saying? In the dark, from the darkest times comes, like, the brightest, whatever, future moments. Does, you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
That saying?
Yeah.
I do believe that the next 4 years is going to be very different. It's going to be very dark. It's going to be upsetting, and we're going to not feel that good for a while. But I think that this is a really good moment for America and Americans to look at our country, to think critically about ourselves, about how we treat each other, about how we treat our neighbors, and about how we treat everyone in this country and how we want to raise the children of this country and who we want those people to be when they grow up.
Definitely. And I also think that, you know, people will say that like our generation is selfie obsessed and like only thinks about ourselves. And, you know, this is really the opportunity to just not think about yourself. You know what I mean? It's not about you. It's about like the future. It's about every other person in this country that needs that. So I think that like, that's a really, you know, that's a positive thing that can come from this.
Yeah. Something that I've been thinking about is why Hillary lost and like the Democratic Party in general. And like, I know that she won the popular vote. And so obviously when I talk about this, I'm not discounting that at all. Like, and I voted for Hillary. I am devastated that she lost. But when your candidate loses and the Republicans have had to do this also, you have to look at your party and question, why did this happen? And, you know, did we choose the wrong candidate? I don't know. Because Hillary really is an establishment candidate. She, outside of being a woman and the potential to be the first woman president, I don't think that she represented a lot of new ideas outside of, you know, what we already are doing in Washington. Like, take it or leave it. I think that really might be the case. And I think that that's why so many people who voted for Obama flipped and voted for Trump. They're like, there's not enough getting done here. And it's not because she's a woman. It's because I want radical change. And I don't know if she represented that enough to enough people.
I 100% think if she wasn't a woman, she would have won.
Do you think
so? And that's my personal view. That is my personal view. But and people can disagree with that, whatever. But I do think that.
I
think people aren't ready for that.
Which
is sad.
I agree with Jilly. I think that her being a woman has a lot to do with it. That being said, I think there were a lot of issues in how her campaign was run.
Yeah.
I think a lot of flaws there. I think the Democrats have had a very difficult time connecting with that working class that the Republican Party has really been able to tap into. Hillary Clinton, the Democratic Party as a whole, has had no issue in tapping into our generation and
right.
tapping into, you know,
who we
quote
are,
quote unquote, educated.
Yeah, and like Silicon Valley.
And diversity and the African American vote and, you know, the Hispanic vote, et cetera, et cetera. But the biggest issue is how do they tap in to that working class, to that voter, because that has always been a loss and they have never been able, like, why did we lose Pennsylvania? You know what I'm saying? Pennsylvania, a state that we were supposed to win.
That's always been blue.
Right.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting also. And I brought that up not because I dislike her. Like I'm drinking out of a Hillary Clinton mug right now. It has her face on it. But I also, you know, I think it's really interesting and important to remember that during President Obama's administration, which, you know, he's still the president now, it's been a Republican controlled, you know, House and Senate and all of these things. And so he has had to use presidential power to sign bills into law that he feels like should have been passed. And I mean, the Republicans have blocked him at every single yes. piece of legislation that he has yeah. tried yes. to put forward. And I think that that right there is a huge reason why there has been so little quote unquote progress, like from an economic standpoint and stuff like that in our country, or why people feel that way. And like, if you're a Republican voter, you have to take ownership of that. You have to take ownership of the fact that your senators and your people in the House and in Congress have been fucking dickbags since day one of Obama. And just because he was an African American man, mm-hmm. that they decided, fuck this, we are going to say no at every single turn. The fact that they haven't approved somebody for the Supreme Court, which, how many months is this now? 8 months, 9 months?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that is honestly such an aberration, and it
should be illegal, quite frankly.
It should be illegal. It truly is awful. And, so, you know, if you're a Republican voter and you complain that nothing has been done for you in the past 8 years, look at the people that represent you and, you know, think about the real reason why they have held up legislation for 8 years.
Well, this is why I think a huge takeaway from all of this, and something that I really hope that Hillary's campaign sheds light on, Bernie Sanders' campaign sheds light on, is the importance of starting to vote at the local level,
yeah.
getting yes. involved in your local elections, figuring out who's running to be your representative or your congressperson yeah. Yeah. or whoever it may be. It is so important. Like, that is the one a great thing about Bernie's campaign, was how much he stressed the importance of local voting, because it all comes down to those people first. Like, mm-hmm. all of this starts somewhere. Right. You know what I mean? And like everything, it starts from the bottom and it grows to the top. So if you have control in the beginning, you have control at day one. So I urge all of you to, wherever state you're living in, go on your state's website. You can find out about who your representative, who your congressperson is, who your senator is, et cetera, who your district representative is, district, county, clerk, whatever it might be, and figure it out and get involved and start educating yourself. And remember that, like, you can only create your opinion. I think this is also something too. I know people that have grown up in conservative homes or liberal homes or whatever it may be. Like, you have the right to your own opinion. You have the right to your own vote, and you should figure it out for yourself, what you believe in and who speaks to you.
Yeah. I want to ask you guys, what are some of the main issues that, you know, you guys are worried about or interested in getting involved more, or
yeah, you know, for me, a big reason why my vote was with Hillary was because she has represented progress for women, and she puts women's rights and human rights first, and I felt, as a woman, safe with her. And I think that is something that is going to be hotly contested once we have a completely Republican controlled government come January. Like, and the thing is that, Trump has not, I mean, he's on 60 Minutes, but, He has given us no indication about how the wind is actually going to blow
yeah.
for every minority in this country, whether you are a woman, whether you are Latino, whether you are part of the LGBTQ community. Like, he has given no indication. And
yeah.
the fact that he spoke in such a vitriolic way about every person in this country except for white men leaves people literally shaking in their boots. I have had so many conversations with people that are truly worried and afraid about yeah. what a Trump presidency could mean for them, for their families, for their bodies. And for me, like, Hillary was the choice because women just get it, man.
It's interesting what you say there, because I think a lot of people, what you said in the beginning is a lot of people are like, oh, like, you, like, you're just voting for Hillary because she's a woman, or like, you know, that's not a reason to vote for her, blah, blah, blah. But it's not that. It's just how she represents women. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And how she represents minorities and how she thinks of it as like a full. I mean, this country is not just white men. You know what I mean? They're the minority. If we think...
Sorry, you guys. My neighbor's dog. It's fine. My neighbor's dog is barking.
I was saying that, you know, white men are the minority. You know what I mean? Like, there's so many other people in this country, and this country's built off immigrants. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like, all immigrants. We all came from somewhere.
I think that people are scared. I think that's really what it is.
That's the fiber of what makes this country great, is that this is a country of immigrants. I mean, we are all immigrants. All of our ancestors came here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Look, I think that my biggest concern, I think that's something that Donald Trump needs to be held accountable for, are the acts of hate that have been going on in the past week, which he has said nothing about. I know I've heard...
Real hate crimes.
I mean, I was reading... You watch the news, and there are 10-year-old girls getting their vaginas grabbed by their fellow classmates, and then them telling the teacher, well, the president does it, so I can do it. You have people going, you have African Americans going to their cars in the morning and seeing no N-word in Trump America. You have my sister and Jilly's sister both went to the University of Pennsylvania, which is Donald Trump's alma mater, and so is, and his two kids' alma maters, and they had an email blasted out to all black freshmen requesting a campus lynching, which happened. But I would like to say that my sister and her two friends did write a petition that got put up on change.org for a call to action for Donald Trump. And they put it up on Saturday night. And today it has over like 8,000 signatures, and, you know, amazing people shared it. So to me, those are moments where I have like, that's hope to me. Like, that's America to me.
Yeah.
Like, you have a voice, and your voice counts. And if you don't want your rights taken away, you need to stand up for your rights. So, like, for me, I'm, you know, I'm nervous. I'm a woman. I don't want my rights as a woman taken away. I don't want my rights to my body taken away. Like, absolutely not. So I'm going to do everything I can. I'm going to fight tooth and nail for my rights, for your rights, for the rights of our future children, for the rights of the women that are older than us that have also fought their fucking asses off to maintain their rights.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing, too, is, like, I think the fact that he, the way that he speaks to people, like I said earlier, and the way that he, you know, has treated Hillary and the name calling and everything he said, he needs to apologize. I mean, bullying is a huge issue in the United States.
Well, you heard that Melania's focus as first lady is going to be anti-bullying.
Well, that's the thing, is what I'm saying is, like, you can't laugh at that, though. I mean, maybe she will make a change. Like, that's who's in office. Do you know what I mean?
The first person she has to change
is her husband.
Well, maybe she can.
Every single
but what I'm saying is, like, I think that there needs to be some sort of PSA saying, look, I'm here and I'm going to be a great president, but, like, yeah, I shouldn't have said half the shit I said, and that doesn't make it okay for you to say that. Because I even read this story recently too on Facebook. This girl, some, like, this teenage girl who's Latina, basically some guy went up to her and was like, we're going to, like, rape you.
Oh, yeah,
and
I saw
send
that.
You back to your country, and, like, threw a cup of water in her
face.
Yeah,
I read that. Yeah. That was disgusting.
Like, I just can't even handle it.
Here's something that I think kind of rounds up what we've just been saying really clearly. Senate Minority Leader Harry Reid said this last week. If this is going to be a time of healing, we must first put the responsibility for healing where it belongs, at the feet of Donald Trump, a sexual predator who lost the popular vote and fueled his campaign with bigotry and hate.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think a lot of people are like, oh, well, there are more reasons that I voted for Donald Trump. I'm not a racist. I'm not this. I'm not that. But in voting for Donald Trump, you're voting for a person that represents the same ideologies of someone the Ku Klux Klan endorses. Yeah. You're voting for a man that thinks it's okay to treat women as disposable, to accost their bodies, to say terrible things about disabled people. I mean, I understand the reasons to vote for him. You want change. You know, you don't agree with Hillary Clinton or whatever it is, but it's hard for me to understand people. And I try to have an open mind because I do think that I'll drive myself fucking insane over the next 4 years if I don't have somewhat of an open mind. But voting for Donald Trump is a vote for bigoted, misogynistic, homophobic
hatred.
And to say otherwise is false. I'm sorry. It's just, you're supporting that. And
yeah, it's not binary.
For sure.
Right? You know what I mean? You can't be like, I voted for Trump just because I want my taxes to be lowered. Like, sorry. Unfortunately, what comes with that is hatred. All of those things that Greta just said. Like, you can't have one and not the other.
So, I don't know. I think the thing is, he's in office, and I think the main thing we need to do and everyone should do is focus on you know, change, how to make sure that our rights are protected and where to go from here. You know what I mean? And I think getting involved in your local community and supporting groups is really, you know, the first place to go.
I think the first thing to do, if you're a woman, I think that you should realize for
a man.
No, I know. But I think that the first thing you should do if you're a woman at the end of the day, if you're a woman and you are dating a white man, you are allowed to feel very hurt right now because, quite frankly, a lot of this hate is not aimed to the white men in America.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that as women, I think if you haven't done it already, I think it is very important to gather with your friends, to gather with the women in your life that make you feel empowered and make you feel strong and make you feel good, and just talk, have a good conversation. I think that conversating with my girlfriends and women in my life that empower me and inspire me makes me feel stronger and makes me feel like, okay, I know that this is not going to be the end of what Hillary Clinton's campaign stands for. I know that we're going to continue working with each other, working for each other to make sure that the future is still just as bright as we were hoping it would be. So I think that the first thing you should do is talk to your female friends because they're probably struggling just as much as you.
Yeah. Every woman that I've talked to has spent the last week crying. And that's something that I would actually like to talk about with you guys. Like this feeling of sadness and grief, which, I mean, I don't think any of us expected Hillary to lose, but if we knew it was really a possibility, like I'm very surprised at my personal, innate, overwhelming emotional reaction to what has happened. And it feels like a death. A lot of people have told me it has felt like the day after 9/11 here in New York City.
I mean, I really felt like it was domestic terrorism.
Everybody is just shell-shocked.
It's so interesting because when I was watching it, like 5:30, I was in California, and it was like 5:30 California time, 8:30 this time. And Hillary was like ahead in Florida.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm going to go to the gym. Like everything's chill. And then I came back and just like watching the states and the colors and everything, it just felt like buildings were blowing up. You know what I mean?
It was like nuts.
I was just sitting with my dad and we were like, what is going on? I never thought it would happen.
I was at my friend's house watching the first half of all of the votes coming in. And when I saw that she was ahead in Florida, I was like, I need to go back home now because it was important for my sister Emily and I to watch it together because we were like, this is such an incredible moment. This is so huge. So I was so excited to come home and watch. I mean, I was really ready to just like watch her win Florida and then be like, this is amazing. And
you know, and I think if you're a woman and you've sort of let people treat you poorly and you've let men treat you poorly or even other females, now it's the time to stand up to that too, because it starts there. You know what I mean? Like if you're in the workplace and someone is inappropriate to you, take action. If someone does something that is disrespectful, say something. You know what I mean? The only way that we're going to get change is if we
use our voices.
Exactly. So I think that that's a really, really important thing.
Yeah.
And even like if you're dating a guy and he's not nice to you, let it go now more than ever, because now is the time to be the strong woman that you are.
Yeah. And if something bad happens to you or somebody that you know, call the police. And if they ignore you, keep calling. And if they keep ignoring you, turn it into a bigger issue.
Yeah, I agree. I think that a lot of us are, we feel shame, we feel scared, we feel worried of what people might think of us if we actually use our voices. But our voices are powerful and our voices are heard and will be heard. And like Jilly was saying, like Lo has been saying, it's now more than ever that we need to come together. We need to make sure that this country, we represent our country. We are the people our country have been looking for. You know, we are the future, and we will not let this symbol of hate represent who we are as a nation. So by doing that, we need to all get active, get involved, get educated. If you have a friend that's not a fan of voting, well, figure out how to make them a fan of voting. If you have someone that says, it's not worth my time, my vote doesn't count, it does. You know, and it's just little things that you can do every day. Sign up for a newspaper. If you don't read the newspaper, sign up to the Skim, a really easy way to get the news. I don't know. I think a lot of it is about educating yourself.
Definitely. There's one email, or there's one site that I subscribe to. It's Ultraviolet. Let me see real quick. It's ultraviolet.org. And I get all of their emails, and they just let you know how you can help with certain issues that are going on. I think it's great. And I know that all of us are going to go to the Million Woman March in D.C. on January 21st. We'll be there.
We already have our transportation arranged.
We'll be smiling and supporting women all around the country and therefore the world.
Yeah, my mom is coming. My mom was actually the first one to text me about it and was like, she just told me, she was like, I'm going to the march in D.C. the day after he's inaugurated. Yeah. And I was like, fuck yeah, mom, I'm coming.
I mean, I'm so afraid of like public places. Like it's a big fear of mine. Sometimes I even get afraid at concerts because I just like don't like being around. But you know what, guys, this is the time.
I will say,
this is the time to no longer be afraid.
I know. I honestly do have a little fear about going, but we have to just scared, get over it.
I will tell you a few things. One, I went to the protest on Wednesday night, the day after the election in Union Square, and it felt extremely cathartic to just be like sad and angry with a bunch of people and to be there and to feel the power of everyone. Like when you are in a group of strangers and you all know that you're fighting for the same thing, nothing is more empowering than that. Like that feeling is insane. You're just there and you realize that 10,000 other people are there with you.
Yeah.
And feel the same way you feel. And it was incredible. I will say, growing up in DC, you know, there is a lot of security. There are a lot of policemen. There are a lot of armed army guys all around. You're going to see tanks all over D.C. during inauguration time. I mean, the city really shuts down during that. And I think that you should feel safe. I think that you should know that we'll be all safe together. I think there are going to be tens and tens and I hope hundreds of thousands of women that come.
Yeah.
And there's power in numbers. And I just think we need to make sure that our rights do not get taken away.
Yeah. I've spoken to a lot of women who are planning on going to the March on Washington, D.C. Women from all over, not just from the East Coast. People are flying in for this. It's going to be a really, really big deal. And so if you are questioning, like, maybe I should go to this, I don't know. I mean, to be honest with you, I have never been to a protest, not been to one. I've never participated in a protest in my life. And this is something that is genuinely moving me. I'm like, okay, I am going to this because this is potentially one of the most important acts to protect our civil liberties that I could do.
For sure. And the other thing I want to say is,
we're going to tell our kids about this.
A lot of,
like, me and your grandma marched on Washington, D.C. the day after Donald Trump was inaugurated to protect your civil liberties.
For sure. The other thing I wanted to comment on, whenever I had posted a photo of Hillary or something on my Instagram, immediately all of the negative comments were all only thing that had to do with abortion, nothing yeah. else. And I would have to say that that's the least issue out of all of this. You know what I mean? It's like, there's so many other rights for women besides if they want to keep a child
or not.
Well,
just like how everybody thinks that, how everyone thinks that, you know, if you believe in Planned Parenthood, they're like, oh, the place where you get abortions, Planned Parenthood provides care for women, period.
They provide yearly breast exams for breast cancer.
They provide cancer screenings. They provide everything.
Like if they have rape kits for men, like,
too, by the way.
Yeah. It's just a free healthcare place. That's pretty much all it is. And I would just say that I think it's time now to look beyond just the basic, like, oh, if you're a Democrat, you know, you are okay with abortion. If you're a Republican, you're not. You know what I mean? There's so many other issues here that don't even have to do with like party policies. And I just think I encourage everyone to really deeply look into all of those issues and not just focus on the ones that they, you know, that pretty much.
All I can focus on is my sadness.
No,
but I think that's, you have to turn that around and you have to figure out, you know, ways to help other people, because that is what this is about.
And you need to figure out ways to channeling your sadness. I mean, look,
into action.
It's fine to be sad. You're allowed to be sad. It's devastating what happened, but it's channeling your sadness into, you know, figuring out ways to get involved, into like, I signed up to be a volunteer at Planned Parenthood because I was like, why the fuck am I sitting around passing a Planned Parenthood? I live two blocks away from a Planned Parenthood in New York. And I'm like, why am I not volunteering there? I always pass thinking that I want to volunteer there. So my sister and I are going to start volunteering there. I mean, it's small things like that that are equal to like big steps to make change. It's going to protest in Washington. It's meeting women, coming together, coming to not hate each other, to not be competitive with each other, to embrace each other, because it's just, society trains women to be so competitive and so nasty and so gossipy. And you know what? The three of us aren't perfect. No. I have tendencies to do that shit too, you know? Yeah. And all that we can try to do is just be better people every day, be better to each other every day, and to really now more than ever be the example of the kind of people you want to see in this country.
For sure, and be that person that people can look up to. You know what I mean? Be the person that when you see someone being mean to another person, you step in or you say something, you know, be that person. Another company that I wanted to mention too is called I'm That Girl. And you can start a local chapter in your city and help to empower young women. I've done a few events with them at Model Fit, and they've been really great. Young girls have come in high school, and you know, their parents sign a permission slip, so they are allowed to just be there, and the parents leave, and the girls can talk about any issues that they're having that they're not comfortable talking about with their parents, or you know, with people that maybe know them at school. And so I think that's another really great group that helps empower women. So I also think just finding those ways to really, you know, help impact and change someone's life. I think that's really what we should all be doing.
Yeah, I agree.
I think that my mantra this week, well, I mean, I have like 9,000 mantras, but something that has been like running through my brain during this whole conversation, and that I wish that I could just say Donald Trump, is, you know, when you're like 5 years old, you're told if you don't have something nice to say, don't say it at all. So I think that for me this week, I'm going to try and practice that, specifically about people that voted for Donald Trump. I don't want to fill my heart and my body with hate. I don't want to fill it with fueling hateful feelings toward those people, because then that makes me no better than them. So I really would just like to focus this week on being positive, knowing that we will all be a part of a very positive movement, a very powerful movement, a very powerful change. And looking forward to seeing where we can take this and how far we can push it and what we can do coming together, because that is what is going to create change.
For sure. And you guys, send us an email, send us a message if there's anything you think that, you know, we should get involved in, or if there's anything you want to share.
Don't send us hate mail about Donald Trump, though. We don't want it.
Yeah.
Listen, free speech. People can do what they want to do, but we want to keep this a positive environment, obviously. So if anyone just has anything they want to say, we're always here to listen and help if we can. And we love you all.
Yeah, I just think
we love all. I just think we support all of you guys.
I feel like Ellen DeGeneres, like be kind to one another. But you know, I think that just practicing kindness, practicing goodness, realizing that we don't want to spread hate and fucking all this crazy stuff that's going on. It's not good for you. It's not good for the world. So, you know, just first of all, love yourself, and second of all, love everyone else.
Definitely. And who's our lady lovin' this week? I would have to say that my lady lovin'.
Can we each get a lady lovin'?
Yeah, my lady lovin' is Greta and Lo for, you know, sticking up for women's rights and human rights and the rights of everyone in the United States and just being such great role models and inspirational women that I can have in my life. And I love that. So thank you guys.
Thank you, Julie.
For existing and being so great. And thank you for having a voice and not being afraid to share it.
Thanks, Jelly Bean.
Thanks, girl. That's really nice.
That's probably the nicest thing I've ever said, you guys, because I don't really give that many compliments. But I'm working on it. I'm working on my black heart has become gray. So
yeah,
It's getting warmer.
I have a couple.
Let's hear it.
I would like to shout out the unprecedented number of female minority lawmakers who were voted into the Senate. California Attorney General Kamala Harris, mm-hmm. who's part African American and part Indian American. She won her Senate race. Representative Tammy Duckworth.
Tammy Duckworth is so cool.
She is a double amputee who lost her legs serving in the Iraq War, and now she is a U.S. senator. In Nevada, Catherine Cortez Masto, who is Hispanic, won her tight race against Republican Joe Heck. And then there are a couple others. In Hawaii, we have Senator Mazie Hirono, who immigrated from Japan when she was 7 years old. And according to Emily's List, the 115th Congress will be the most diverse in history because of Democratic women of color. So to everyone who voted for these women, thank you.
Yeah, it's great. My lady lovin is going to be Kate McKinnon from Saturday Night Live, who portrayed Hillary Clinton all season long.
She'll still be doing it. I think Hillary's going nowhere.
I know, but you know, this past Saturday, she also Leonard Cohen, very sad that he died, but,
he's a man lovin.
He is, but you know, she sang Hallelujah. And I think that it's really remarkable of Saturday Night Live, of her, of Kate McKinnon to continue to send the message that no one's giving up. And I think I admire her for portraying, you know, it's so hard to try and be funny portraying someone that you really believe in and you really admire. And I admire her for doing such a great job with that last season and this season. Mm-hmm. And I also want to shout out, oh my God, there's so many women, but I want to shout out my sister, Emily Teitelman.
Shout out to Emily.
She's sitting on the couch. Hey, Em.
Yeah. Emily's going to cry.
She recently quit her job and is very passionate about really, really getting involved and being super active in, you know, creating positive change. And I know that she is not afraid. She has never been afraid to do what's right. And she has never been afraid to speak her mind. And she's always encouraged me to be that way. And, you know, I would be lost without her. Anywho, so that's it.
Well, thanks for listening, guys. Feel free to, like I said, send us emails, messages, like us. You know, next week, maybe we'll come at you with some more laughter, but we really wanted to chat about our feels this week.
Oh, also, really quickly, you know what I did that made me feel really, really good? I sent Hillary Clinton a thank you note. And you can send her a thank you note to the Clinton Foundation address. You can look it up on the internet, or I can look it up for
it's
you.
It's probably clintonfoundation.org or something along those lines.
It's
I'll tell you. Also, I want to be the lady that runs into her in the fucking woods okay. the I know, day I love after that. The election, walking her dog so that I can give her a hug and say thank you so much for your 30 plus years of service to our country.
Seriously. So the Clinton Foundation is 1271 Sixth Avenue, New York, New York, 10020. I know that there were a bunch of people that were sending her thank you notes there. You know, do I know if she's ever going to see mine? I don't know, but it felt really, really good to just physically write something down and thank her for all that she's done. And even though the three of us are sad and are really mellow this episode, we're also really happy to be alive. We still believe that America is the greatest country on earth, and we feel really lucky to live here, even though, you know, it's going to be a really crazy 4 years, but we have it, have each other, and we're going to get through it.
For sure, guys.
Bravo.
We are. We're going to make it. We're going to love one another.
Amen.
That's it.
Amen. That's it. All we got is love, y'all.
Okay. Love you guys.
Bye. Thanks.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. Tune in next week for another episode of Lady Love It.
Yeah.